The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to order them back into the abyss. Now, there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission, and then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country, and then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. And the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This past week, my friends Lois and Joy invited me to come down to their home in Ocean City. It was on Tuesday and Wednesday, just to visit because we hadn't seen each other in a long time. The weather was kind of yucky, to tell you the honest truth, and so we spent a lot of time on the porch jabbering, catching up with each other. And for Joy and Lois, they were enjoying some wine. And as our conversation went on, once in a while we got into a topic that was, well, just a little bit controversial. And my friend Joy, who's a very enthusiastic person, especially after a few glasses of wine and a controversial topic, pounded her fist on the table and said, "I am a rule follower. I am a rule follower." And then she apologized for getting so upset because what we were talking about. And yet, we find just the opposite in today's gospel. There are so many instances in Luke's gospel of Jesus going up against the norm of his day, on purpose, almost compulsively, like he just can't help himself, like Joy just could not help herself. He was a good son of great parents, raised right, taught right, he knew the rules of society, and he knew how to keep the rules in place. He knew there was some rationale behind the rules. So see, kids, when your parents tell you, "You do it this way because I tell you," there's a rationale behind that. You just don't understand it yet. If there are no rules, then anything goes, and anyone is let in. If there are no rules, then the community may become at risk to threats, And then what becomes of the community? It could be wiped out. Rules are in place to protect the community, right? Jesus was taught that there were clean and unclean folk. Jesus understood that clean folk needed to be protected from the unclean folk, and there were rules on who one was allowed to associate with, and rules on who you were supposed to avoid if you wanted to remain clean. And yet, repeatedly in Luke's gospel, Jesus seems compelled to break these rules. He purposely seeks out those considered unclean. He knew that such associations would not only earn him a very shady reputation, but could revoke his place among the clean folk. People, as you might gather, might suspect, began to gossip about Jesus' associations. He hangs out with women of lowly reputations and tax collectors. He dines with people who drink a lot. People with unexplained skin conditions were among the unclean folk. After all, what if it's catching? It could be devastating. People with mental illness were considered unclean. They might present a danger to the community or to themselves. And no one really understood mental illness in the ancient Near East, and I'm not so sure we understand it today in 2019. It made more sense to say that they were possessed by some sort of demon, and that was much worse. Yet, Jesus goes purposely toward this man who has been suffering from heaven knows how long. He was such a danger to himself and the community that he was chained up and kept away from everyone. Jesus does the unexpected. He approaches him humanely, heals him, and restores him to the community. Could it be that in Luke's gospel, Jesus is about expanding God's welcome so that everyone has a chance to be included? Could it be that while growing up, learning and memorizing the law, Jesus was looking for places where the law could bend and flex, and be open to inviting more people in? Could it be that Jesus understood better than we ever can that God is always about radical inclusion, and that God's idea of clean and unclean turns ours on our heads? It makes sense to want to protect the community from real threats, but there's a time and place for grace, for seeing others as God sees. There's a time and place for looking deeply at why people feel pushed out and separated. There's a time and place to ask, what can we do differently to live out God's radical and expansive welcome? Who is missing when we gather for worship on Sunday morning? Jesus stays on message throughout the Gospel of Luke. He knew what he was doing, crossing boundaries, breaking taboos and rules. In Luke 4, Jesus announces his mission. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And later in Luke, in chapter 19, Jesus declares, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This suffering man was included in Jesus' saving work. We are included in Jesus' saving work. The unnamed man, and can you imagine not having a name? The unnamed man doesn't waste any time responding to Jesus' grace, to Jesus' kindness and mercy. He can't keep quiet about it, even though Jesus wants him for some reason to keep quiet, but he tells everyone. His encounter with the saving grace of God set him on fire. If you've ever met someone who feels included, who previously felt excluded, they may have a similar testimony, filled with joy and amazement. My sister Ellen is head of literacy in the state of Wisconsin for Greene County, which is down in the southwest. She shares stories of people learning to read and speak English, and I've had the joy of meeting some of her many, many hundreds of students being helped by literacy, being able to learn to speak English, being able to get their citizenship papers, to buy a car, to buy a house. And they share that good news of the work of the Literacy Council with everyone they meet, because they had previously been excluded, but now were included. And they are filled with joy and thankfulness and amazement. Only by God's grace are any of us included. In the waters of baptism, the waters wash over us and we become a child of God. In Holy Communion, as we receive the bread and the wine, we receive God's grace and forgiveness. Maybe we need to remember that also. Maybe we need to remember that. And when we think on how God's grace loves and includes even me, a sinner, even you, a sinner, a forgiven sinner, maybe it will fill us with uncontainable joy too, and we will shout it to the rooftops and share that good news with everyone. Amen.